Great to have you with us on Air Talk. I'm Larry Mantle. We have ever more streaming services. Disney's got theirs that's coming online soon. Warner Brothers, a whole host of studios are looking at new ways of distributing their content. But, you know, Netflix, Hulu, the streamers that have been around for a while, they've been a little bit hands-off, shall we say, about the sharing of passwords. And so many people aren't paying for their subscriptions, but are still accessing the video content that's streaming. But according to a number of news outlets, that crackdown might well be coming. Joining us to talk about how it might be carried out and what the streamers think that might mean for the actual viewing of their top programs is Dan Rayburn. He's a streaming media expert and principal analyst with the private research and consulting group Frost and Sullivan. Dan Rayburn, good to have you with us today on Air Talk. First of all, how is the streaming industry sort of changing to this ever more competitive environment where subscribers are going to have so many more choices about which subscriptions to undertake?
Thanks for having me today. Yeah, it's a great question. You know, Apple just came out with their service last Friday. Disney comes out on November 12th. Then next year you have Peacock coming out with their service, so the NBC service. Then you have Quibi coming out with their mobile-only service targeting millennials. And then you have HBO Max coming out in the springtime. So there is just so much choice right now for consumers between on-demand content, live streaming content, and then if you also add in Spotify and Pandora, that content as well. And then the bundling of content, right? We're seeing all these different things where you get it for free for 12 months from Apple if you buy a new iPhone or iPad. You get it for free with Verizon Wireless if you're a Verizon Wireless subscriber on their unlimited plan. So there's all this bundling taking place too. So I think it's great for consumers because as consumers, we all want more choice in the market. But with that choice is coming a lot of complexity and a lot of confusion.
Well, it seemed to me, and you can comment on this perception, but that the streamers weren't so concerned about password enforcement because they were building their business and they wanted people to get used to streaming stuff and get hooked on having access to it and the quality shows that are offered. And then at some point down the road, they could go after, more fully monetizing it. Have we reached that point where they're going to be looking to do that?
Well, I think we have to come up with a balance. So there's a couple misconceptions we have to correct in the industry. And first and foremost are all the people who are writing that, saying that this password sharing is unauthorized, it's illegal, or it's piracy. It's not. The platforms allow it. The platforms could shut it off in one day across their entire platform globally. It's not hard to do. It's the restriction of how this works from a technology standpoint is already built into their platforms. But the reason they allow it, like what Netflix has always told us, is that they feel it helps promote their shows. It gets especially the younger generation involved in their service, and they hope and they think that down the line, those people will then sign up for their own account. Now, is that the case? We don't know. How many people actually are sharing passwords across Netflix? We've seen estimates it's anywhere between 10% and 30% of their subscribers. But the point is, the industry is talking about this with no data being shared of any kind from any of these services of how big a problem it is, what the impact is to their bottom line, and what it might do to reduce churn or create new subscribers.
I'd love to hear from listeners if the streamers did use that technology that's available to them now to stop shared passwords from accessing content. What would you do if you're someone who's using a shared password? Would you get your own subscription to the streaming service? Would it depend on a particular show at a given point in time? So maybe you'd subscribe for a given period, you'd cancel your subscription. Would you just forego certain programming if you had shows on different platforms that you wanted to see? Would you just have to pick and choose which ones you most wanted to see to afford your subscriptions? 866-893-KPCC, 866-893-5722, or the Air Talk page, kpcc.org. One of our producers sharing with me that he knows someone who works at Netflix, and even they use a shared password. That's hilarious. 866-893-KPECC or the Air Talk page, kpecc.org. Dan, what's the way that the streamers could shut it down? Would it just be the IP address that they would use for the person entering the password, and then, you know, it'd have to be based on just the authorized devices?
Yeah, so there's lots of different ways to do it on the back end, right? It's different if you're doing live streaming. Think of Sling TV and Hulu Live and YouTube TV Live versus what we call SVOD or streaming video on demand. But basically, these video workflows in the back end, when you log in, they look at a lot of different things. They look at a device ID. They look at the actual player that's playing back the video. They look at your IP address. There's many different pieces of information that they get when you log in. So it would be very easy for them to crack down on password sharing, because keep in mind, they're already doing that to a degree, in the sense that Disney's new streaming service that comes out November 12th, you can watch 4 simultaneous streams from the same account at the same time. But the moment a fifth person were to try and watch it, you would get a message that says you've reached your maximum number of simultaneous streams. So they're already, all the companies are pretty much already doing this from a simultaneous stream count.
Yes.
And that's basically the same as password sharing. It's just it's a different way of doing it, but they could all implement this literally overnight if they wanted to.
Okay.
Not a technology problem.
Okay. But that's for simultaneous. So if you had multiple people using VPNs that disguise the source of the connection, they use the password, could they just universally block out VPN?
Oh, VPN is easy. We dealt with that years ago in the industry when you had live services from Sling and others where it only allowed you to do a certain region. So we call it geofencing in the industry. And geofencing means you're putting a fence around a geographic location. So what was happening is content owners who had the rights to stream, let's say, a live sporting event only in North America or a certain region, people at first were using VPNs to come in from a different country so they could still watch the content. The services were very quick to figure that out. They were very quick to shut that off for VPNs for sports services. It's not hard to do. This is not a technology problem. This is a fundamental problem of what is the impact to the business and how do they crack down on it while not alienating users at the same time? So it's a tricky balance for them. They haven't figured it out.
Let's talk with Reed in Santa Monica. So Reed, if they crack down on password sharing, what would you do?
Well, right now I use Netflix and Hulu on a shared account. And if I were no longer able to do that, I would switch back to pirating shows like I used to.
You would pirate shows just like you used to. So you'd find, you know, someone who's just put the show online and get it that way on a torrent site.
There's always a way to find a show online.
Yeah. Dan Rayburn, so the streamers would have to be concerned about that.
Well, what's Reed's age?
Reed, how old are you?
I am 22.
Okay.
So there you go. Great example right there of the younger generation who knows how to pirate content can easily find content online, right? But the older people who are paying for Netflix accounts, which is much older crowd, they wouldn't be able to do it as easily. So this is the struggle that Netflix and others have, is how do you keep the millennials and the younger generation on your service who are sharing passwords so that they don't leave the service and go on the torrent sites and start torrenting things.
Okay. And is there a way to do that? Or you just something you'd have to tolerate that your younger potential subscribers would do?
Well, it's already being done. We already have a lot of torrenting taking place in the market. So it's already taking place today. But the whole point of these services is to make it easy for consumers. Because what we've found as an industry is if you make it easy for the consumer to get it and you make it affordable, they will not try and steal it. Right? Convenience, flexibility, and quality are key to consumers. And a lot of things you download off torrent sites, the quality is not great. It's not what you thought it was. It's hard to play back, or it's missing a plugin. Many times there's lots of variables there.
Sure. Well, and for older people, you know, they're typically so busy, they're not going to take the time to go around, hunt through torrent sites to find a particular show.
True. Depends on the demographic of who you're talking to.
Yeah. Shelley in Upland, good to have you. Yeah, whether you have more time or money. Shelley in Upland, go right ahead.
Yes, I would definitely, if they did not allow me to share my password with my sisters, I would not purchase each one individually, I would just stick with go. I would just end up going back to the cable company because we do it to save money.
Yeah.
If you had to do it individually yourself, it's the same amount as getting the basic getting cable or what.
So you would just forego the shows that you like on Netflix, Hulu, Prime. You just go without those and just stick to whatever's on cable.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, Shelley, I appreciate it very much. Andy in Brentwood, your thoughts about this?
Yeah, hi. I think, well, right now I'm a password sharer, and I think I've noticed that they increase the amount of screens you can watch at the same time if you pay extra. So I'm thinking that maybe that's already a way that they're fixing the problem.
Yeah, and so it would be less expensive than people individually having a subscription you can share with more folks. Dan Rayburn, is that, I think Netflix does that, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, absolutely. Most of the services do it. Not all of them allow an extra option, but for instance, the more expensive package with Netflix gives you 4 simultaneous streams, and the lower package gives you 2. So that is an option there. And what Shelley talked about is another great example of, I know people where, okay, there's 4 different people in a family that don't live together, but one buys Hulu, one buys HBO, one buys Amazon, one buys Netflix, and then they share that account amongst the 4 of them. And now they basically have a great sampling of content out there, but each person only had to pay for 1 account. We see that in families quite a bit. But how big is it? We just don't know.
Glenn O.C. writes on the AirTalk page, many of us older folks don't pirate not because we don't know how to do it, but because we believe in paying for things artists have worked hard to create and studios have taken big financial risks on. That's Glenn O.C. writing on the AirTalk page. Dan, that seems sadly, particularly among younger consumers, to be a rare point of view.
It is, but that's not their fault, because what's happened over the last 12 years? You've had YouTube and all these other services that just keep saying, our content's free, just come watch it. So that generation has grown up with the idea that everything should be free, everything on Instagram free, TikTok. I mean, think of all the services over the last couple of years. Why should I pay?
And as you look at the new companies coming on, do you think that this is going to have a significant effect on their bottom line, or something like the new Disney streaming service have such a built-in audience that, you know, people are going to want to subscribe not just for the content, but the sort of the affiliation with it, the affinity for it?
Yeah, the brand of it. It's a great question. Last week, AT&T had a announcement of their HBO Max service where they gave out pricing, details on content, how it's going to work. They showed the interface. And at the end, during the Q&A, you know, they basically asked the executive, somebody asked, what are you going to do on password sharing when you guys launch? Are you going to crack down? And it was an interesting answer, because what they gave was no answer. What they said was, it's something we're going to keep an eye on. We don't want to alienate consumers, but at the same time, there has to be a balance. What they said is the industry right now is struggling to figure out what that balance is, but there does have to be one.
All right. I thank you so much, Dan Rayburn. Appreciate your being with us to talk about password sharing and whether the crackdown is coming with the proliferation of streaming services. You're listening to Air Talk on 89.3 KPECC. Coming up on Air Talk, right after our live update, we'll take a look at Microsoft's experiment with a 4-day work week. Rather remarkable results. Would they translate elsewhere? We'll find out after a live update from Hedy Lynn Hurdies.